Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Let's give a warm welcome to Pastor Jim Lathune.
It's just always such a privilege to be here at Bethel. I have my niece with me, which I'm blessed tonight. That's my sister's daughter's daughter. Man, golly, I guess I'm like, I don't know if I'm a great uncle or uncle. It's worrying me, whatever I am. I'm getting older. Anyway, Bruce, I forgive you after all these years. Okay. All right, we're ready? Put it over here. Put it right around. Okay. But it's great to be here. You've been in a series that Pastor Bruce began last week called Heartwork. And I want to continue that. And it's so interesting. When Pastor Bruce normally kind of come here and speak whatever the Holy Ghost says. And he says, you want to speak on that passage? Well, that was my meditation one day this week, in fact. I'd been pondering that scripture. So I want to look at it with you. Let me read the passage, at least the two verses I want to look at, then pray about it. This is really profound here in 2 Peter chapter 1. I'll begin in verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. There's nothing that you need to live a godly life that cannot be found in Christ and his great promises and covenant. Through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness, through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises. The promises of God, and what I found in my own life, and I'm going to pray here in a moment, no matter what you are facing tonight, what challenge, what pattern in your life, situation in your family, there is a promise that the Holy Ghost can specifically apply to you. And one of the ways, I turned 60 recently, and I turned to Christ when I was 8 years old. That's 52 years. And one of the ways that I've walked with God as early as this week, was taking my need and applying a specific promise of God to it. Why is that? So that through them, we can have something. The promises are in some ways the portals through which you and I experience something. We experience the divine nature, the very power of God, the very life of God. We not only can experience this divine nature, and out of God's divine nature flows things like peace and joy, we can also escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. The things that you're wrestling with, the things pressing you, the things you desire that you know you shouldn't. So what I'm going to do is, I had a message ready where I was going to cut down this passage, but I'm going to start in this passage, and I want to apply it very specifically tonight. Even in the car, I could not get this thought off my mind. So I'm going to take this passage and apply it to something and illustrate how do you experience the divine nature of God through his promises. What's that like? How do you do that? Holy Spirit, help us. Lord, I cannot imagine, Lord, living this Christian life without just the reality, Lord, of what you've given us, what you've done for us, in your son, and I'm asking you to help us right now in Jesus' name. Amen. If there ever was an hour where it's easy to be anxious, how many of you know there's plenty to be anxious about right now? Probably not since the height of the Cold War and all the nuclear things have I ever seen a world so ridden by anxiety as I see now. Just from what's happening in the Middle East to the fears about Ebola in Western Africa and will it come here, to kind of the rise of Russia flexing their muscles in Europe, to kind of still the uncertain fears over our economy and still the ongoing breakdown of the family and divorce and abuse and all these things. And people are quite honestly afraid everywhere. Honestly, no matter whether you're Democratic or Republican, I'm encouraging you to pray for your president every night, and I wouldn't want to be him. I cannot imagine facing the complexities as a human. And so I felt quickened by the Holy Spirit to talk to you. How do you take God's promise of peace and experience the divine nature? How do we do this? How does the promise? The Bible says this. Jesus, I have a peace for you. I don't give it as the world gives. Here's a promise. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. What is Jesus saying here? There's a peace in my nature. Flowing out of the Godhead, there's a peace that no matter how anxious you are, no matter what your circumstances are like, no matter what you're experiencing, you can be peaceful in the midst of that. Now, when I'm talking about this peace, and I want to examine it, I don't want to just help you come away saying, okay, I can be peaceful. I literally want to help you experience the very literal peace that flows out of God's divine nature. How do you do that? I can give you an example. I'll never forget being a young dad, and Kathy was diagnosed having cancer for the second time. This is many years ago. She's been cancer-free many, many years. And they basically said, we think maybe cancer spread to your wife's brain, and I had four small children at home. Now, that is just scary. And I'm driving back from the big medical center to where I lived, and I get, you know, it'd been fair to say to call it a hospital, I guess, but I was driving back down into the darkness of the road, and I was just, and I should have been afraid, but somehow something on the inside of me was tranquil. And it wasn't, I thought, okay, maybe I'm just in shock, you know. Then all of a sudden, I began to pray for Kathy, and the Holy Spirit said, stop praying for your wife. Now, how many of you, that just don't make a bit of sense? Like, I rebuke you, devil. The Bible says pray. And he said, it's a waste of your time. She's fine. And she was. Whether either she never had it or God healed her, I don't really care. I'm just happy with the outcome. But peace flooded my soul, and I spent the whole way home praying for missionaries, praying for evangelism. Where does that come from? I know the difference as a human between shock and peace. Think of a few of these promises. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah 26:3 says, I'll keep you in perfect peace. It's like double peace. Those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. He says in Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. There is a peace from God. What that means is you feel peaceful and you can't figure out why. You feel peaceful, but you've looked at your checkbook. You feel peaceful, but you really are. The doctor's looking at you and saying, it's done. The doctor will look at me and say, your health is destroyed. Quit working. Quit the ministry for 2 years. I was 34 years old. Look me straight. It's over. And that was a Christian doctor. Think it's bad for a doctor to tell you it's over? If it's a Christian doctor, that gets your faith and your brain. So, okay. But the Bible says the peace of God, which trans all understanding, guards your heart and guards your mind. The peace of God can so flood you that even when your fight or flight reflex kicks in and your heartbeat wants to race and your digestive system is messed up and you don't have trouble sleeping and you're just stressed everywhere, what am I going to do? That peace of God can literally flood into your soul and guard you. Guard your brain. Guard your nervous system. Guard your heart rate. Guard you. How does that happen? Now, let's talk about that for a moment. Basically, why is this so important? Because the fact of it is, outside of Christ, peace is really impossible. Because outside of Christ, peace is always, for the most part, based on circumstance. And you can meditate, and you can do deep breathing exercises, and you can go to the gym, and you can do all kinds of natural things. Get your green space, and, you know, kind of try to calm down and relax your muscles. Or what I used to try for years, chocolate chip cookies, milk, donuts, those kind of little stress relievers. You know, I figured the Krispy Kreme donuts would somehow suck up the stress as I ate them. Didn't work too well. So why is this important? Because the damaging effects of long-term stress and anxiety are amazing. Why is this? Because physiologically, when your body prepares for stress, it's commonly called the fight or flight response. It mobilizes massive amounts of energy. It inhibits your digestion, your growth, immune response. All of a sudden, you're just cascaded with all kinds of biochemicals. I mean, your body basically, it just tenses up and ready to fight. Now, it's one thing if you're, you know, trying to dodge a car coming down the road or you're jumping back from danger, but you start living that way, its effects on your body are damaging. And I know what it is to be in such great stress that all my joints go numb and I've spent nights in emergency rooms. I don't know if I'm an expert on peace, but I'm an expert on stress. I mean, I know what it is to have nuclear dye run down my heart because of the way my chest feels, but there's nothing wrong but stress. Now, what do we do about that? What's God's answer to that? I want to give you a few steps. And what I'm going to give you tonight, quite honestly, is not simply a sermon. This is what I do multiple times every year. Number one, to me, before I can experience peace. Now, how many of you know there's objective reality? The Bible says I can have peace. But there's also subjective experience. I don't want to leave you with just objective reality tonight. Okay, God says I have peace, therefore, even though I don't feel a doggone bit of it, I am peaceful. How many of you have been there before? I am peaceful. I am peaceful. Okay. But the fact of it is, if you're going to have subjective experience that the literal peace of God flows into you, it's got to be built on objective reality. And that's why, for me, it is critical. When I want to bring change in my life, or when I want to experience a promise of God, maybe it's joy, maybe it's peace, maybe it's healing, I very carefully, sometimes over days, lay a biblical foundation. Now, part of that, quite honestly, is I write out scripture, I speak scripture, I write out scripture with my non-dominant hand, because neurologically that opens up deeper levels of consciousness in the right side of your brain. It's just a fact. I read with different intonation. I speak that scripture. One of the great things about preaching, like, you know, people like Mike and Bruce and I do, is faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And every time I preach, I feel better because I'm hearing myself speak the Word of God. You go, well, I don't preach. Well, just preach to yourself. There's a power in speaking. Now, one of the verses I love is Isaiah 26:3. It says, you'll keep in perfect peace. In the Hebrew, this is a promise of double shalom or double peace. Peace in Hebrew is more than just the absence of anxiety or conflict. It is a state of well-being. God promises to guard us. God says, Jim, there's a level of peace you can experience that even when you're facing mega thousands of dollars of needs. I mean, I know what it is to have like out-of-pocket medical expenses in 1 year of $50,000 to $60,000. So I know what it is to have a little financial need here and there and to experience things. And doctors with kids that just can't get well and no one can figure it out and the insurance doesn't cover it. So when you face that, how do you handle it? So God says, I've got a double peace. But the Bible says, you'll keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast. In Hebrew, the word steadfast means to be founded on or rest on. In that case, to me, that is the Word of God. It's going to come down to my concrete choice is I'll build that Word, and if my mind is steadfast, if my mind is founded on my circumstances, I'm going to live in anxiety. But if my mind is founded on the Word, and that is where, even this week, my wife said, what are you doing? I said, I'm writing out the promises of God I need. One of the ones I wrote out is, my comfort in my suffering is this, your promise preserves my soul. That's a powerful word. Like, I really believe that. And so when I'm telling you, I want to build my mind on the Word, that's not just a whim. That's not just a wish. That's not just reading the scripture one time. That's literally speaking that word, laying that word, not trying to be a parrot, but I want to concentrate and focus on that word, and I'll tell you why in a moment. Because they trust in you. If your ultimate reliance is on anything other than God himself, you'll never experience full peace. Like, how many of you ever had a financial challenge? Make me feel better and raise your hand, okay? God told me one time, he said, life comes down to a simple choice. Whose riches do you want to live out of? He says, I'll supply all your needs according to my riches and glory or your riches and glory. Now, that sounds simple until you're facing that need or that thousands of dollars or that situation. And it can be paralyzing. And the fact of it is, I have to realize if I'm in God's will and I'm walking in God's way, I just have to trust him. Comes down to a choice. Now, once you've kind of gone through objective reality and you've read the Bible, many people just stop there. And quite honestly, that does not work. You close your Bible. And how many of you feel in the Bible, reading the Bible at least makes you feel better for a moment? Be honest. You know, you feel like if I could just read my Bible all day long, I'd feel okay. Problem is you can't. You get away from that Bible and you look back in your checkbook or you see that which is stressing you. And peace, it's like it just seep out on you. Now, the second thing I've learned is I must consciously lift my burdens and anxieties to the Lord. Now, what do I mean by that? Philippians 4:6 says, don't be anxious about anything. How many of you know that's about one of the hardest commands in all of Scripture? Another bad one is don't be afraid. Oh, give me a break. Don't be anxious about anything. And it's funny, you can think you're filled with peace till the thing you've been anxious about looks you right in the face again. And then you realize it was the absence of what was making you anxious, not the presence of God. Peace was really at work. Yeah, right. You know you have peace when you look that anxiety straight down and you're still peaceful. Yeah. Now, everything in Scripture, beloved, is very important. You put something off, but you also put something on. In fact, we're not talking today about neurogenesis or the fact of how humans build new neural patterns, which I didn't even believe was possible until around 1989. But the fact of it is, an old neural pattern doesn't really die. You simply have to build a new neural pattern or way of thinking or way of behavior. And as that pattern is strengthened, the old one slowly withers. That's why God puts things like, don't be anxious. Okay, how do you do that? You're not anxious. You're in the alternative in every situation, in every stressful situation. Instead of being anxious, you do something different. With prayer, continual prayer, and thanksgiving, you give that to God instead of taking it on yourself. Now, what does that mean? In my own life, I have learned the importance of verbally lifting up every one of my anxieties and stresses to the Lord in an attitude not just of praying about it, but thanking God for it. Now, watch what happens here. A lot of times in the mornings, I have so many anxieties. In some ways, I manage crisis for a living, work with lots of leaders and churches around the world. And a lot of times when someone calls me, it's not always happy. And so there are some mornings I will literally write down in my prayer journal every anxiety I'm facing. Just the process of writing them down is so important. Now, once I write them down, I verbally, catch this now, and concretely begin to lift them up. You know, Robert was, you know, health, fighting for him to live for years. I say, Lord, Robert seems to be dying. I'm anxious over this. The doctors have no answers, but I'm giving him to you. Now watch this. Or, Lord, I've got this financial need. I've got this bill. Or, Lord, I have 7 kids. You have as many as I do. There's always one to be stressed over. Let me just tell you that. You get over 2 or 3 kids, there's always one of your kids you're worried about. I mean, it's just one of the facts of it. And, you know, and you think, well, Pastor Jim is so exciting. Go to all these churches. Just more of them to worry about. So there's always 1 or 2 or 3 crises in my life every day. So basically, I don't stop by giving it to God. I want to end up in each of these in an attitude of thankfulness and worship, not just giving it to God, but thanking him. You're going to take this. You really promise I want to do it. Now, I'll tell you why that's important in a moment. Now, here's what becomes important. Once you've laid a foundation on objective biblical promises, these promises, the Bible says, help you experience the divine nature. Here's how it works. So I have laid this foundation. Based on that foundation, I'm now lifting up burdens and anxieties to a God who promises to take them and replace my anxiety with a level of peace that guards my system from being damaged, that guards my nervous system, that guards my brain, that guards my pulse, that guards my digestive system, that guards me from insomnia, that guards me. Most Christians stop once they've laid the foundation. Okay, they've wrote a few scriptures down and go about life stressed. Some go a step farther and give their burdens to the Lord and worship, but this is the step you have to go to. Let me explain it to you. The Bible says, let the peace of God rule and guard your heart and mind. It says very specifically in Philippians, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. Jesus calls it my peace. Now, okay. What does he mean by my peace? Within the unbroken fellowship of the Trinity, you know, one yet three, you know, God is one yet exists in three persons. Who can explain that mystery? But in that unbroken fellowship, there is a flow of peace and joy and life and caring and love, which is just astonishing. And so this peace that guards your mind is the very peace that the God experiences in Trinity. It's the very joy, the very life. Now, here comes the question. How do I as a human experience what the Trinity experiences? How can I experience that peace? How can I experience that joy? And I don't mean objectively, I mean subjectively. So when I'm on my porch and I'm stressed and I'm numb in my joints, I'm so stressed. And my lips are starting to go numb and my face is numb because I have layer after layer of stress. And I realize if I stay this way, I may injure myself, which makes me more stressed thinking about it. You know how that works? You get stressed, then you get stressed because you're worried about getting stressed, which makes you more stressed. It just layers down. So when you're stressed, what do? Here is what I found. Basically, the Bible talks about through the promises of God, we participate in the divine nature. How does this happen? Not just theologically, practically. Before you were born again, it was virtually impossible for you to experience the divine nature. Why? Because your spirit was separated from the divine spirit. Now, I know this is basic elementary, but I want to lay this foundation and take you a little practically deeper. When you were born again and touched by Christ, as you know, a number of astonished things happened. I mean, your sins were forgiven, you're declared righteous. That's not bad. No matter what your family status was before, whether it was unwanted or adopted or fostered or abused or abandoned or maybe a whole family, you were immediately adopted into the only whole family in the cosmos, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You became son, daughter, brother. Astonishing. Third thing that happened is you receive what the Bible calls a new nature. And understanding this new nature is the secret of participating in this power. When the moment you were born again, your human spirit was reconnected through the Holy Spirit to the Trinity, enabling the life of God, the peace of God, the strength of God, and at times the sorrow of God over sin, godly sorrow to flow into you and churn in your heart and soften you for repentance. Now, if this is the case, and it is, and we, to use a plumbing term, the pipeline's restored, or an electrical term, we're plugged in. That's a little bit too mechanical. It's not that mechanical, but how do we make it work? The Bible uses a number of metaphors to understand this. For instance, Jesus says, eat my flesh, drink my blood. It shocked him. Comes down to feed on me, chew on me. And that's all in John 6, one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. Honestly, it's just John 6. But then he goes on to say, after saying, feed on me, they're going, all right, what are you talking about? He goes, the flesh will profit you nothing, but my words are spirit and life. So Jesus says, okay, if you chew on my word and speak my word, something happens. What happens is it activates that divine nature and the very life of God begins to flow into you. Another metaphor in John chapter 4 is drink. And you begin to find in this passage that drink becomes synonymous with worship. Worship not merely being what we were doing and Ilea was leading worship and team was leading worship. Worship speaks of the spiritual disciplines. Anything you do to approach God, you're hearing this message, you're fellowshipping with a brother or sister, you're speaking the word, meditating on the word, confessing the word, going to small groups, sharing your faith. Every time we approach God, we activate in the very life, whatever you need from God. The Bible says through these promises, you can participate in the power of God and it'll help you escape corruption and stress and all these things. Now, this is why you lay a foundation. I will drill down into the word. I mean, I will speak that word. I know what it is to be so anxious. The Holy Spirit just said, listen, don't say anything. Just speak the Bible. You can't trust yourself to speak right now. I just have to speak that scripture. I pray in tongues, one of the gifts of the Spirit. And I baptize where I spoke in tongues. I pray in tongues. And I'll worship and I'll pray and I'll speak the word. Now, but the Bible says, in every situation, if I'll present my petitions to God with prayer and thanksgiving, so what's happening? So I'm going, Father, I give you Robert. Or Father, I give you my finances. Or Father, I give you this situation at church. Or God, I give you how tired I am knowing the busiest time of my year is just coming. Now, as I'm giving him this, I begin to worship him and thank him for taking it. So what's happening is I'm feeding on the word. I'm drinking from the well with an expectation that literally through my new nature, I'm going to experience God. I expect that. You understand? People say all the time, I walk by faith, not by sight. I'm happy for you. I like both. I like faith, and I like some subjective reality. Objectively, I give my anxieties to God no matter how I feel because he promises to take them. But I realize if I can meet him in worship, if I can meet him in that word, if I can meet him by his presence, if I can meet him by his grace, I can participate, as it promises in 2 Peter chapter 1, 3 and 4, with his power. I can participate in like what the Trinity experiences of peace and joy. That flows out of their nature. This is what's so incredible. That is the great mystery of the Christian faith. I was talking to God once. I said, Lord, is this pain ever going to go away? He said, well, maybe. It depends if what I'm in pain about changes. He said, but that's not how it works. The Bible is not a pain pill. The Bible brings God's joy, God's peace, God's life, and God's grace into the middle of anxiety. It's so mysterious that you wonder why you're peaceful and have no reason to be in the natural. And you're going like, why aren't I worried? Am I stupid? Like, am I in shock? A lot of that's just the peace of God. And why is that important? Because those circumstances, your reaction to those tough circumstances chemically in your soul, man, it'll affect your sleep. It'll affect all kinds of things about you. It'll wear down your immune system. It's hard to produce new cells. And so this peace is yours. You can have this. And quite honestly, the more you practice it, the easier it gets to experience it. What I'm talking to you about, honestly, is not a sermon. This is my lifestyle. I've already done this week on at least 2 days. I will do this again before the week is over when I get home, I'm sure. But I don't end by closing my Bible and walking off my porch. I end with my hands raised as I give him my burdens and begin to worship and thank him for what his word says and feed on that word. My literal expectation is I'll participate in the divine nature. My literal expectation. You see, without a new nature, true Christianity is virtually impossible. So how do you not worry? How do you overcome an addiction? I'm not talking about the chemical or neurological issues. I'm talking about the fact that the power of God flows through your new nature into you. That's part of the secret of it all. That's part of the joy of it all. It really works. I know what it is to be joyful when I shouldn't be. I know what it is to be peaceful when I shouldn't be. Patience is my hardest fruit. I just have to confess it to you right now. If I didn't have a car, I'd probably be more patient. I don't know how I can claim a lot of victory in that one. I'm not going to preach on patience tonight. But humor aside, he's given us these very like double great and precious promises. Why do you think David loved the promises of God so much in the Psalms? He just had lots of needs to claim. The promises of God are your doorways, are your portals, if you will, to experience this divine nature. You can have this, whatever you're facing tonight, whatever problem is riveting your soul, whatever need is just cracking down on you. God's promise, God's power can meet you where you are. You're here tonight, you'd say, Pastor Jim, I need to experience God's promise of peace tonight. I'm battling anxiety. I'm battling worry. I'm battling stress. Psalmist said, and I was sharing it with some of the pastors earlier, it said, you know, when anxious thoughts were just like preying on me, you brought consolation to, your consolation has brought joy to my heart. Man, that's real. If that's you and you say, Pastor Jim, I need to experience both the objective reality of this promise and the subjective experience. Just raise your hand right now. I want to pray for you. Holy Spirit, there's plenty of need in this room. Lord, there's plenty of stress in this room. That's just the human condition. Lord, we are not going to be free of stressful circumstances permanently until we're in glory. And none of us are hoping that's real soon tonight. We're not looking to die anytime soon here, Lord. If you want to come, that's fine, but we need your help. Lord, you know just the complexities we're facing tonight. You know the pain in this room, in families, in bodies, in finances. You know it. And our hope is in you tonight. I want you to raise both hands and, in your own words, tell the Lord exactly what you're facing right now. Articulate to him the stress you're facing. I'm going to do a few of mine while we do it. Take a minute and do that. Now take one of those promises, my peace I give you, not as the world gives. Don't let your heart be troubled. My peace will guard your heart and mind. Take a promise and apply it right now. Just apply that promise practically. Then lift up your hands. Just close your eyes, take a deep breath if you want, and say, Lord, let me experience that guarding peace. Let his peace flood into your soul tonight. School, marriage, money, character, business, house that won't sell. A couple of you have real estate problems tonight. You're just so pressed down. Some of you have been so stressed it affects your breathing. How many of you get so stressed sometimes it affects your breathing? Wave your hand so I can see it. Yeah. Lord, touch these hands right now, Holy Spirit. Just touch them by your presence. Some of you get shooting pains up and down your spine and your neck stiffens up when you get stressed. And it just, if that's you, just raise your hand. Holy Spirit, help us now. Some of you are just, you really suffer with insomnia. I don't mean like me with a bunch of jet lag. It just, You get so stressed you just can't sleep. Some of you, your hands shake when you're in bed at night. Holy Spirit, meet us. These are very real problems. The Bible says you are a man of sorrows, Jesus, acquainted with grief. Help us. Meet us. In Jesus' name, amen.